Let's start. Once upon a time, you know, as soon as you hear the word phrase, once upon a time, that means it's story, right? There was a woman who married a very, very annoying husband. This guy is just the person who annoys everybody in town. And he complained about everything. One day he went to the creek with his mule. On the way down, near the creek, he annoyed this mule so much that the mule kicked him to death. At the funeral, and the guys came by then to say their things to the widow. And when they said, and she nodded her head, and then the woman went by her, and then she went like this. So curiosity got the best of the minister, as minister asked her, when the man passed by, you nod your head in yes, and you shook your head no to the ladies. What was that all about? She said, well, when the men came by and they said, are you going to be okay? So I answered, yes, I'm going to be okay. But the women asked me if the mules were for sale. So she said no. And I'm sure the husband said, oh, that's such a corny joke. Last Sunday we studied what godly wives are supposed to do in a marriage and how she should treat her husband. This morning we are going to learn what godly husbands should do and how to treat his wives according to Lord's way. And if you are not married, remember this and apply this and how to treat a wife. Young people learn, okay? This is a good way to learn. And please, as I mentioned last time, do not be unequally yoked together. If you know someone, you like that person, make sure that person is born again Christian family. Okay? It's so important. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we reflect on your character as we seek wisdom for such a time as this. In this moment of fear, you may remain perfect love. In these unsafe days, you remain all-powerful and able to protect. In these uncertain times, you remain all-knowing and leading us aright. In this unprecedented pandemic and man-made chaos we are facing, you remain absolutely sovereign, and our times are in your hand. Therefore, Father, our dependence on you is total, not partial. And our need for your forgiveness is constant, not occasional. Our gratitude for your grace is profound and not casual. And our love for you is deep, not shallow. Father, we ask that you guard and guide our leaders. May uncompromising integrity mark their lives. We also ask that you unite all the born-again Christian believers as one body, committed to turning our world right side up with love. Father, we are asking you to equip us with a genuine humility and heartfelt compassion. Remind us that we are not alone, that we are yours and you live in us. That through us, you make known that you are full expression of your love. Father, we pray that this coronavirus to be diminished and be gone soon. And we pray for the President Trump, who is in constant attack. Father, you give him wisdom and do what is right in your sight, not what he wants. Father, we pray that this election is not turning into fraud, not affected by anything except you. You will put who need to be in the office. Father, we pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Father, we are asking you to protect them as they protect us. May that love and the holiness from you heal our land and change our world. In the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you go to the verse 19 of chapter 3 of Colossians? Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward. Stop there, please. The wives were to submit to their husband. It never excused husband acting as a tyrant over their wives. The Greek word for the bitter is pikraino, and the definition is quite clear. To embitter and exasperate. We husbands should not make ourselves to be the bitter taste in our wives' mouth. In other words, do not annoy your wife. Okay, watch your elbow, ladies. Instead, a husband must love his wife. And the ancient Greek word that we see love here is translated as agape. All of you know that, at least many of you know that this word agape is unconditional love. That means no matter what love. The word has little to do with emotion or sex. It has everything to do with complete commitment and self-sacrifice for the sake of another. Are you with me? Whenever I hear this people saying, we fell out of love. No wonder why you fell out of love. Because you fell in love. That's an awful, awful expression. You commit to love one another until death do you part, right? When you promise that, you got to keep it. You cannot just say, well, we came to the mutual agreement. Baloney. You're trying to bail out. That's what it is. Okay, let's go more in depth. There are parallel verses for this. We said it from the book of Ephesians last time, so we'll go there as well. The verse that we are going to study in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 are far more demanding than what we read in Colossians 3:9. And husband has more responsibilities and accountabilities to the Lord, as I mentioned previously. Hear me, please. We need to understand the intention of the Lord for marriage. We need to understand the intention of the Lord for marriage. Marriage is not merely convenience to overcome the loneliness or an arrangement to populate the race. First and foremost, marriage is a mirror of a divine human relationship. Every marriage is meant to represent God and His perfect relationship with Himself, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as well as His relationship with the church. Think of it, ladies and gentlemen. Marriage, despite of all the faults of its two very different human partners, is a human object lesson of the divine relationship between Christ and the church, born-again believers. To study more about this, we'll go to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, please. Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 25. Husband, love your wives, just like Colossians 3:19 says. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let me ask you this. Is there anything that Christ did not do for us? If somebody is giving everything of himself to the other person, by dying for that person, there's nothing he's holding on to it, right? Did you notice that the Lord did not command wives to love the husband in verse 22? Because the woman already wired by the Lord know how to love their husband. They have a problem respecting the husband. Husbands, we don't know how to love our woman. The Lord had to teach me that with a spiritual 2x4 up in my head. The word 2x4 here is, as I mentioned, is agape, unconditional love, is unselfish love, and in self-sacrificing love for others. It's the love mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So keep your finger to in the Ephesians, go to 1 Corinthians, turn to left, verse 13. And chapter 13, please. Verse 4. You there yet? Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up and does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bearing all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Loving like Christ also means forgiving, folks. Husbands and wives. Loving like Christ means forgiving. Christ like a husband will embrace grace rather than hold a grudge and extend the compassion rather than belittle her with shame. And accept and value his wife for who she is rather than demand unrealistic standard of perfection. Hey guys, listen, come on. You do know that you are not perfect. You do know that your wife is not perfect, right? She married you. That shows that she's not perfect. And some guys decide, oh, I get it. A little slow. Christ our Lord wants all the husbands to love their wives with this love that seeks the highest good of the other, their wives, even at the price of its own good as Jesus Christ did for us. I can almost hear some husbands grumbling and mumbling and thinking, this is not possible. I cannot be like Jesus Christ because I'm a mere human. Yes, we all are. But I'm going to let you in on a secret. If you submit yourself to Christ first, and Holy Spirit, submit to the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? Your love for the Lord will overflow to your wife. Once you get that instruction and get His love, it will overflow to your wife, and you will love your wife just like never before. So in other words, you have to submit to Christ first. By doing so, you become the priest of the house. You see, God did not make Eve out of Adam's head that she could rule over him. He didn't make her out of her feet so that he could trample over her. God created a woman out of Adam's rib from his side under his arm so that he can protect her. Close to his heart so that she can be loved by him. And your wife is not your mate, rather the helpmate and the soulmate for your life. And you're thinking, wow, that is so good. I stole it from the Matthew Henry. I use this in every wedding ceremony. Verse 26 of chapter 5, Ephesians. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such a thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. Stop there, please. The husband's love also be the sanctifying love. Word sanctify means, many of you know this, to set apart. From the wedding ceremony, the husband is set apart belong to the wife. And the wife is set apart to belong to the husband. And interference with this God-given arrangement is a sin. Today, Christ is cleansing his church through the ministry of his word. And the love of a husband for his wife ought to be the cleansing her so that both are becoming more like Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, it is not unusual for Christian wives to be more spiritual than the husband. I see many husbands coming to the church, not because they had a hunger for the word, or they have this thirst for the word of God, or the relationship with Jesus Christ. They merely come to church because to appease their wives. If you are here to appease your wife, you need to think again. That's not the way that you become a priest of the family. Husband, you cannot sanctify and cleanse your wife unless you yourself first sanctify and cleanse yourself with God's word. How do you do that? You read the word of God, meditate upon it, and pray to the Lord daily. That's why we call it daily bread, not once in a while bread. You follow me? Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his body, his wife, loves himself. So no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. I believe one of the primary reasons for why marriage is falling apart instead of such an alarming rate is because husband is failing to fulfill his scriptural duties to his wives. If we concentrate on loving wives, our wives, just as Christ loved the church, God will transform our marriages. As a result, he will then transform our families and our churches, yes, even our country. Breakdown of the family is why our country is in such a horrible state. In case you haven't noticed, our country is in turmoil like never before. Someone once said this, family can survive without a nation, but nation cannot survive without a family. We have children today who are being raised with no value and no consciousness, because their families are weak and practically non-existing. We need the family to be strengthened again. I say this without an apology. The biggest reason why the black population having trouble is not because of the less education, because their family is broken down. Majority of black people, black families, do not have a father figure. Father do not stay. They may know how to make the babies, but they don't want to know how to make the family. When a woman is pregnant out of wedlock, they take off. And woman tried to raise a child without the father and tried to keep the food on the table. And the kids learned bad behaviors with the neighbor kids. It is no wonder that the community is falling apart. I'm going to say this anyway. Black Lives Matter concept might be good. If they really care about the Black Lives Matter, they should do something about the Chicago South Side, black killing black. And they should go to the bottom line. Black fathers become in charge of their families again. I'm not trying to insult black people. I have black friends. One of my favorite deputies in the sheriff department is black, and he's such a gentleman. I have utmost respect for that man. Family, the father figure, is extremely important. The transformation of the family, then our country, depends on you, husbands. And you cannot solve all of our America's problem, but you can start by doing what God has called you to do in your own family. And you may say, well, I'm not a father anymore. I'm a grandparent. More important, as a patriarch of your family, you should lead your family, not follow them. Even the physical relationship between husband and wife should be so controlled by God, and it becomes a means of spiritual enrichment as well as a personal enjoyment. The husband is not to use his wife for his own pleasure, rather is to show the kind of love that is mutually rewarding and sanctifying. The marriage experience is one of the constant growth when Christ is the Lord of the home. Love always fulfills and enriches while selfishness cheapens and degrades the spouse. Am I making sense? Guys, am I making sense? Hello? Verse 30, please. For we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother to be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And that's coming from the Genesis chapter 3. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, think about it. In perfect setting, paradise, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they have made, don't you think? Eve did not have to worry about Adam bragging about his mama's cooking. And he didn't have to put up with her story for the ex-boyfriend. Adam had to give the part of himself in order to get bride. But Jesus Christ gave all of himself to purchase his bride at the cross. God opened Adam's side and sinful man pierced, but the sinful man pierced Christ's side. So united are the husband and wife that they are one flesh. Their union is closer than that of the parents and the children. Believers' union with Christ is even closer, and unlike a human marriage, will last for eternity. Husbands, your first priority is God. Second priority is not your children, your wife. Then your children. Then everything else. Ladies, same goes for you. Your first priority should be God, your husband, not your children. I've seen family is got all twisted up. They put their children before their spouse, and it's no wonder their marriage is suffering. Apostle Paul also echoed what the Apostle Paul speaks about the marriage in the first epistle. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell. Would you put the number one before dwell? Dwell with them. Put number two, with understanding. Number three, giving honor to the wife. Number four, as to the weaker vessels. And number five, as being heir together of the grace of life. And number six, that your prayer may not be hindered. Did you notice there are five commands and one warning from the Lord in this verse? Let's dissect one at a time. Dwell with them. What does it mean? Godly husband abide with his wife. I'm not talking about he is merely share the house with her. He truly share lives with her. That means what is important to her become important to you. Second thing we see is with understanding. Godly husband has undertaken formidable task of understanding his wife. Did you see the little picture? I saw it in Facebook. For understanding husband is a little piece of paper, not even 8 by 11, it's a cut in half. Understanding husband is all written there. And understanding wife, there's a volume about this tall from the ground, about this high, and that's just purpose. It's not even covering everything. But with understanding, demonstrating his love for her, that is extremely important. Third thing that we are told to do is giving honor to your wife. Godly husband knows how to make his wife feel honored. Though she submit to him, he takes care of her, and she does not feel like she is an employee or a slave under taskmaster. That means, guys, when you go through the door with your wife, you open the door for her. I know it's old-fashioned. You do that anyway. When you go to a restaurant with her, when she comes back from the washroom, you stand up. Wait until she sits down. And you may say, you're such an old-fashioned. Yeah, I am. But it shows respect to your wife. And she digs it. Fourth things that we are told to do is as to weaker vessel. Unless your wife is a rough and tough biker chick or can bench press 200 pounds, usually your wife is weaker than you physically. But the word weaker has a meaning of a fragile. You don't toss around the fragile and precious Ming Dynasty of China like a basketball. You cherish it. You value it. You value it. Like that, a godly husband recognizes whatever limitation his wife has physically and does not expect more from her than what is appropriate and cherish her. Fifth commandment. As being heir together of the grace of life, godly husband realized that his spouse is not only his wife, she is his sister in Christ. Part of their inheritance in the Lord is only realized in the common bond. Heirs together reminds husband that even though they have been given a great authority within marriage, though their wives are still equal to them and in spiritual privilege and eternal importance. They are joint heir. They are joint heir. Okay, we went through the five commandments. Now we have one warning from the Lord. Your prayers may not be hindered. In other words, if you don't have a right relationship with your wife, if there's a problem, we have a problem. Failure to be a godly husband has spiritual consequences. It can and will hinder your prayer. The word hinder in Greek word is ekato in Greek, which means to cut out, to cut off. We see in Matthew chapter 5, please. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. You there yet? Let's read this carefully. But if your right hand causes you to sin, what does it say? Sever it, right? Cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Okay, he's not literally speaking you have to chop off your arm if you are sinning against the law. In that case, probably we lost the right arm, the right leg, left leg. Folks, it is important that we need to cherish our women, our wives, properly. If we don't, our prayer will not be answered. It literally means God cut off our prayer lines to him so that he would not listen to you. Are you guys with me? So next time when you try to argue with your wife, for whatever reason, back off. Your prayer, if you do, your prayer will not be answered. Here's the thing that I learned. Next year, Karen and I will celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. That woman put up with me for 40 years, almost 40 years. I learned one thing. I don't have to put the last word in. And I don't have to win the argument. Do you know that? That goes for the ladies too. Don't just answer your husband nothing. You know that it's more than nothing, right? Speak. Go through the problem honestly in a godly manner. So there won't be a problem. If you have to argue, please do not argue in front of your children. They need you. If mom and dad relationship is unstable, it affects your children a lot. Application, I have 5 of them, so I hope you brought the lunch. First one, be the priest of your family. Gentlemen, this is the commandment. Stop your lame excuses for not being the priest of your family. Whether you like it or not, you are. So you might as well be a good one. Stop being one and get into the Word of God daily and ask the Lord to show you and teach you and help you live by it. Second application. Love your wife first. Make all the other earthly relationships, your children, your work, your favorite sports, your hobby, your newsletter, all of that secondary. You with me? Thirdly, your love for your wife should not be conditional, rather unconditional, without any expectation from her. Let me make this very clear to you. Have you ever heard a relationship is a 50-50? How many of you guys heard that? All of us. That's from the pit of hell. If you give 50, expect the 50 back from the other person, you ain't going to get it back. You give 100% first, without any expectation. Just like Jesus Christ did. He gave everything to us on the cross. Did he expect anything from us? Nothing. If you do that, your marriage will flourish. Fourth application, do not try to be a fixer of everything, for everything. By nature, men want to be a fixer for everything. In the marriage, your wife may not want you to fix anything. I learned this. I had to learn the hard way. She just wants you to listen to her. And she will talk, and while she's talking, she has an answer. She just wants you to sit there and pay attention to what she's telling you. Fifth one will be very difficult. Be a good listener with your full attention. Put your newspaper down. Turn off the TV. Your favorite football team is playing the championship game. It's the fourth quarter, 5 seconds left, 4 yard line from the goal, and you guys are 3 points behind, and they're about to make a move. And your wives start talking about an important thing. Guess which one is more important? Come on, Green Bay Packers. Oh?
A loving wife would never do that.
What if she does it, between TV and your wife wins. You hear me? Listen, in many cases, your wife feel that you are with her physically, but you are on the other side of the universe. Why? I'm not telling you because it's a textbook says what the Bible says. I'm telling you, I've been there. I probably was the worst jerk you could find in our marriage. She started to talk about something, and I finished the conversation with a gun. Just in case you didn't know that I like guns. You didn't know? Well, I'm sorry. Folks, listen to your wife. Even if you think there's a dumb and stupid, let that thing be important to you. She will cherish you. She will respect you. You will have a marriage that is beyond your possible imagination. Am I making sense? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. All of this is impossible for us to do. But we know that with God, all things are possible. Let our marriage be holy and fulfilling so that you alone receive all the glory. Father, we pray that if there is anyone who is struggling in their marriage, Father, we are asking you to speak to them. Let them practice what they learned today and last week. Father, guide us, teach us, remind us that we may do all things for your glory alone. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.